Amen. It's good to be in the house one more time. The day that more people go to church than any other day, which is on Easter Sunday. Yeah, and Christmas. That's right. There are a lot of folk in church today. My prayer is that they get what they need today to change their lives. I thank God for 8th Day Community. Always a pleasure to be with you. And grateful that you worship here in the Festival Center. And so thankful to have you, and cannot believe it. I've been almost a decade in this community, and the gray hairs I have in the pool. That didn't mean that. I just thought, the Holy Spirit is so good. Holy Spirit said they probably took it one way, you did it another way. It was really self-deprecating for me, but y'all probably took it. He's just worrying with us for 10 years. God is indeed good. I think I better pray right here.
Oh, no, that's
right. Let us pray. This is a short prayer. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever.
Amen.
Amen. I thank Marcia for reading the scripture for me. And just for a few moments, if you'd allow me to preach from the subject or teach from the subject, sometimes you just have to get up. Sometimes. You just have to get up. Sometimes you just have to get up. My beloved brothers and sisters, many, many years ago, there was a whole lot of commercials that were very interesting and relevant to us, I believe. There was a commercial about a Maytag repairman. I know I'm going to lose a lot of millennials here. I'm going to come back to get you. But there was a Maytag repairman who could always fix anything, but he never needed to, he got bored. Because if it was a Maytag machine, he never had an opportunity to repair it because it was so resilient. Then, of course, there was one of our elders had this commercial. She was simply utter, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef?" Such an interesting voice. "Where's the beef?" And then the grad millennials, those who listen to rap, I think Jake said, "I start at the bottom, now I'm here." That was my attempt to grab you. But there are so many commercials out there that were relevant. But there was one in particular back in the old days where there was an elderly sister who simply said these words that were very poignant. It was so poignant, Saturday Night Live grabbed it. A lot of comedians grabbed a hold of it. She simply said, "I've fallen, but I can't get up." She just said, "I've fallen, and I can't get up." Has life ever put you in a position where you've been so crushed from the weight of disappointments that it's just difficult to get up? Have you ever been depressed to a place where you just closed the curtains and didn't want to move or even get out of bed? Felt like the weight of stress just held you there? Yeah, I've been at those places. And I believe that when we get to those places, hopefully there's some good news, Jimmy, in this scripture that will help us to understand how we fall there, why we fall there, and why it's so important to get up. I believe, don't know if you'll agree with me or not, that when God is about to do something special, that he tends to shake up the status quo. Then there's a special announcement or pronouncement that he does. Then I believe he needs a credible witness to explain to those who may have a little lack of faith, who think this thing is so incredible it could not have happened. I think there's a credible witness that has to appear. And then I believe the fourth thing that happens, I think something may be has to be destroyed or die in order for the new thing or the revolution that must happen to make the change that has not changed previously to begin. Those are some of the things I see there. The Old Testament has some histrionics behind it. Remember Lot, those who read the Bible and study it. I mean, there was a pronouncement. The angels walked into town and told old Lot the property value is about to go down. The place where you have your house is going to go up in smoke. That's a pronouncement that God is about to do something in his life. Came to Moses by way of a burning bush. There was another pronouncement that something that was going on back here, there needs to be a revolutionary change, because I believe as humans, sometimes we're just too slow for God. I just think that God looks at our calls and all he's calling us, and he's saying, when are you going to come up here to this place that I'm really calling you to? You're in a place where you're comfortable in your car. You're in a place where you're afraid to shake up your faith a little bit. You're in a place where you may have to talk to some people you may not even like. Because I want to build community into you. And those people you don't even like, if you get to know them, you'll get angry at yourself. I should have gotten together with you way before now. I think he does that. When Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, was tending the temple, an angel came and said his prayers were heard and that his wife would have a son and who would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Mr. William, I know you're a Bible reader. Shaking your head right with me. And then on still Judean hills, angels came to shepherds and pronounced unto them, unto you, born in the city of David, one who will be a Savior, Christ the Lord. But yet, after all of that pronouncement, there was still persecution in the land. After all of that pronouncement, there were power struggles occurring. Nations and empires were warring against one another. People who were literally cousins, Israelites and Edomites and Canaanites and Samaritans. They were all fighting, couldn't go to family reunion in any way, probably were fussing over which prayer was the right one to get through. And they could not come together. So there had to be a status quo shaking up. And then we came to what I call Frightful Friday. Yeah, a place that was filled with hopelessness. You ever been there where you've been to a place where you're just frightened? Maybe your call is coming to an end and you see an expiration date on a place or a thing where you become comfortable. I believe God has to move us from a comfortable, believable part of our call that must die in order for us to grab our faith to the larger, more revolutionary call that moves our reality from one of control to one of faith and action. Yeah, that releases our control to a shared responsibility. That now this thing that was burning in me is beginning to catch flame in the community that I'm a part of. And it doesn't seem quite as hard and lonely to me anymore, because now I have an army of believers with me, ready to fight the good fight of faith. Faith in action. So I'm going to bring us up a little bit, but can I make it a little more miserable for a moment? Okay. The events of Friday were heart-wrenching. There were crowds all around, and shouts and darkness, naysayers and backbiters, congratulators, haters. They remember a wooden cross on a skull-shaped hill, and I believe the words spoken by Jesus were still echoing in their subconscious, even when he died. I believe those words were redirecting their moral compasses internally inside of them. He told them to forgive, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. We don't have a clue. Sometimes I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And I'm glad that Jesus spoke words of forgiveness.
Yes.
Yeah. This then looked at a thief, and he says, without needing a special membership card or privilege, wasn't baptized, wasn't confirmed anywhere, wasn't proselytized to, what he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. I mean that lets me know that this revolution is beginning to take place now. The status quo, hearing these words, these new words or problems begin. I mean, I can see the Pharisees who had gotten their new nice new clergy type robes were now saying, wait a minute, he's trying to take away who I am in this society. I don't know if I like this new shift in power that's starting to happen. They probably would go in the large stadiums, and their people would probably fight other people. Take that where you need to in our political system today. Let me get back to the scripture. One of my great preachers, Gardner Taylor, always said, when a preacher says, let me get back to the scripture, you always should ask, why did you ever leave it? All right. So now, Jesus again cries on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? There are times in our lives where it can get so lonely that we don't even feel the presence of God. It can get so lonely that it feels like you're working by yourself. Have you ever been there? It's just a place of, it doesn't seem like God's hearing me. It doesn't seem like the people that I'm talking to are hearing me. It seems like I'm by myself in this. But I think that's a time for us to do a little self-reflection, to get a clear picture of reality of what intestinal fortitude do I have. What are my limits? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? Who do I need to help me? That's the place for us to get our intern, because no one knows you better than you, right? So that's the place where that work can be done. And then, of course, the physical anguish came to his body. He got thirsty and dehydrated, renal shutdown, and he cried in Spanish. I think he was getting to a place where he had reached the end of his checklist. Remember, he had looked at water and embarrassed it so much, he blushed, he turned into wine. Check. He preached the greatest simple message in history through the Beatitudes. Check. Performed the miracles of feeding thousands with the most spectacular fish fry, which was a miracle, had no Crisco, lard, any flour. Check. Healed the woman with an issue of blood. Check. Gave old Bartimaeus his sight. Check. Discipled women and men. Check. Fulfilled his destiny through prophecy. Check. Now I got to deal with these folks and love them too. I'm finished. Check. And of course, his last word. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And I believe Jesus understood that sometimes you have to speak what you see in order to see what you said.
Come on.
Y'all. Say it again.
Say it.
I mean, that was my black preacher coming out. Sometimes you gotta speak what you see. You gotta say it. Because when you say it, you begin to affirm it. And when you begin to affirm it, you start to believe it. When you start to believe it, you'll start talking about it. When you start talking about it, others get excited about it, you get excited about it. And when you get excited about it, a community that gets excited about it will start making policies that are excited, that brings in exciting change.
Yes.
And then you look back at that work where God has risen you above the limitations of who you are. And then that thing that you spoke, way back when it was hard, that thing you spoke, when it was so difficult you couldn't even really express it because it was so scary. You see the work, you see the benefit of it because you put in your time with your faith, your community, and you've affirmed it through what you spoke.
Amen.
That help?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, the status quo is shaken up because of the death that occurred on the cross. Here we see one Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. She was worrying who would roll the stone away. And when she got there, she saw the stone was rolled away. And can I pause parenthetically here and say the stone was rolled away probably not to let Jesus out, but I believe it was to let witnesses in. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you believe Jesus is incarnate, he's spirit, he didn't need a stone. So the significance of it here had to be, there had to be somebody to go in and witness that there was nobody.
Right.
Her status quo was shaken up because she was looking for a body. But it was not there. Because without a witness, this would be just a fairy tale, an urban legend, a conspiracy theory without any credibility. I believe every new resurrection of Paul needs a witness. Every new resurrection of social change needs a witness. Every new move you bust for God to bring about new directions needs a witness. Every time God resurrects your hope, every time new life is resurrected out of your dead issues that need to die, don't put them on life support. Life is resurrected out of there, and there must be this witness.
Yes.
Mary sees evidence of a stolen body and panics because what she thought she would see now has been taken away. And then she runs with the story. She's got some news to tell some folks. And the folks that she's running to tell were hiding and cowering because they were afraid, because this new revolutionary change that was occurring, they didn't know if it would be accepted or popular, so they ran. You know, fight or flight. So interesting, they saw these great miracles historically reported, but yet they got scared. And when they were scared, they ran away. But here comes Mary, running with some news for them to talk about. And when she tells Peter and the other disciples, some think it's John writing about himself, they run, and the other disciple outruns him and gets there, looks around, doesn't see anything there. Peter looks around, doesn't see anything there. And then it says that they left and went back, but old Mary's hanging around the tomb. And here comes the pronouncement. The angels are sitting around and said, "Why are you crying?" I'm glad she did, because I do like that hymn guy, that old Mary, "Don't You Weep," tell Martha not to moan. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? What's wrong? This is a good thing. We need encouragement along the way. When we get a little down and out, we need somebody sometimes just to hug you. Just to say, hang in there, don't give up. Even political pressure is the most depressing. Just hang in there and live this thing out, because I believe that God has already worked this thing out, thought this thing through. You just got to walk into that thing and go at it with everything you got, everything in your being, everything in your soul. And at some point, there will be a celebration. So the pronouncement comes, the angels begin to talk to her. The credible witness that happens. Who's more credible than right out of the horse's mouth? You know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I say you can lead a person to knowledge, but you can't make him think. So you've got to bring in a credible witness from the horse himself.
That's right.
Now, here comes Jesus. Don't mess with anybody's theology. I'm not calling him Equinite or anything. But here comes Jesus. Standing right there. Saying, "Mary, it's me." And the first thing she wanted to do was reach out and touch him and grab him. But Jesus gives her a lesson that is so beautiful right here. Because don't hold on to me. Because I'm doing a new thing. You want to hold on to my legend. You want to hold on to who I am to you. You want to take credit off of you. You want to stand on my shoulders and say you was part of my crew, part of my crowd. You are not getting that I've got this new thing I want you to forget. I've done my work. You have to do your work now.
Amen.
And he says, "I haven't even ascended yet to the Father. Don't touch me. I'm done. It's your time now. Go and touch somebody with a good word.
Yeah.
Go and touch somebody with a good work. You want to touch. Go and touch somebody that's hungry and feed them. You want to touch somebody. Go to a prison and visit. You want to touch somebody. Go down to Walter Reed. there anymore. Go down to Howard University Hospital. Go over to GW. You want to touch somebody? Don't touch me. There's work out there that you need to do. So there's a credible witness. And now the revolution begins. The revolution begins now because those cats that were afraid began to get marshaled up. And they get to a place where the Holy Spirit will come upon them and Pentecost will come. And I guess on this final little point, I just want to say, yeah, the work can get hard. You got your credible witness, you got your pronouncement, you got all the things that you need, but you can't do it by yourself. And that's where the power of community comes into play.
Right.
I think this whole death and resurrection is about building community, because I think this third word was son, behold thy mother, behold thy son. I'm getting out of here. My ticket is punched. But you are going to need each other to get this thing through. And you have the power to do it, but you got to have faith and belief that you can do it. Let me begin to conclude with a story that can make it a little bit better than I tried to preach it. There's a story of a Latino sister who was on a deserted island. She had been on this island for only a few days. She saw at night the piercing eyes of hungry animals staring at her at night, licking their chops. The island had an unbearable hot sun, and by day and by night, it was a very, very cold. The nights were very cold, and if that's not bad enough, the island had frequent thunderstorms by evening that would come, and the wind would hail, haul, and blow, and she knew she had to build something to keep her safe. That's natural. I need to build something to keep myself safe. So what did she do? She built the Taj Mahal of huts. It was beautiful. It was adorned. It had adorned on its walls coconut and fresh-cut bird of paradise flowers. And she ate of the herbs and the grasses of the field. She must have been vegan. Anyway, she left that hut to gather some food, and then a surprising storm came up over the horizon. Gale force winds began to blow with the rain and the winds, and she saw the lightning flash, and she heard the thunder roll, and she witnessed something that allowed stress to paralyze her. Sharp streak of lightning came down and struck the hut, and to her dismay, it burned it down, literally to the ground. And the very thing that she had worked so hard to protect herself with, the very thing that she had toiled over, the very thing that kept the hungry animals away and the weather from bothering her, the thing that had nurtured her was now dead and destroyed. She was so exasperated. She fell down and mourned over her misfortune and fell asleep. But when she woke up, to her surprise, a ship was docked on the island. And when she confronted the captain said, "We saw that wonderful distress signal of smoke that you set up. And we changed course and knew that someone on the island needed to be saved." Can I just say that we can build all we want? We can be in jobs for 8 years. We can build churches that we don't want to grow or don't want to, what does churches say? Churches we don't want to scatter. We can do certain things that we get comfortable in, and we don't want to rock that boat a little bit. We don't want status quo to deal with us. We are comfortable right where we are, and then something happens. It dies. Scattered churches. Different calls erupt. Things die. And rather than cling to something that is dead, in this story, I think when you let it go and let God start the revolution inside of you, that there will be a new thing that is beyond your capacity to reason, beyond your capacity to think. This thing is so good. And I believe all you have to simply do It says, like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Let's get up from our places where things are a little dead in our lives. I think God is calling us to rise up and raise up so that we can move from a substandard status quo position into a higher level of being. I think God is telling us to go into highways and byways that our GPSs aren't programmed to go to. I think he's saying, walk over to Howard University and eat some, I can't say it with y'all, y'all don't eat that. Eat some black-eyed peas and eat some, you know, I think he's saying, let's go over down into the Vietnamese restaurant and get some fish sauce and do a few things. I think it's challenging us to move out of our comfortable places. Don't give life support to things that should die. And get excited about the new revolution, though. It won't be televised, Gil Scott Heron. Will not be televised. It will be live and living and in color. And then I believe we'll be a people that will come and celebrate together. Look at not what we've done, but look what God has done. Through our talents, through our calling, and that's how the community is built. So we don't need to weep because Jesus died. We need to be excited because as soon as they gave a death certificate to him, that was our birth certificate in our lives to do what he's called us to do. God bless you.